This is Phil Farron. And I am walking around. So it's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I'm not planning on getting away from the house today. I could go drive around, but as I have done in the past, I thought, well, I'd just go for a little walk and we'll just talk for a little bit. Everything's puttering along. Work is good. We've got some deadlines coming up in work that should be interesting. The federal government passed Trump signed an executive order back in March of 2025, I think, that said that all businesses had to file electronically. All their tax payments and had to receive them electronically, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which of course is good. It's good. Cuts down the number of pieces of paper. That's my watch talking to me. I just got back from a run. So it thinks I'm still going on my run, and at some point it's going to congratulate me for completing a 5K. Because my run is 2.5 miles, which, what is it, 2.2? No, it's 8/5. So 5/8. 5/8 of a mile is anyway, so that gets me up in the range, and by the time I walk down to the little bridge and back, it's going to be 5K. So anyways, so that has put us in a little bit of a crunch, because my client pays the estimated taxes for all their missionaries. Well, theoretically, starting in 2026, we can't do that anymore. Now, because of the shutdown, if the government decides that, well, they're going to give a little more grace, we'll see. Or if they're just going to say penalties, I don't know. But we've been working along trying to get that taken care of. So we are making progress. We've got the pieces in place. We're waiting for some numbers from the government for batch filer IDs and master pins and all that kind of stuff. But we're getting close. The big thing is that in order for us to do this electronically, we have to have all the missionaries, all the units that we pay estimated tax on. Well, we don't pay their estimated tax. They raise the money and then we hold it out from their disbursements and then we send it to the government for them. So technically we pay it. They're actually paying it. We're just facilitating. So we have to have every single one of those units that we're going to do this for go to the main website where they go for their financial stuff and fill out a form to say, yes, you can do this. That has traditionally been more difficult than it sounds. There are many distractions, and so it's going to be really fascinating to see how we get through all this. But, you know, it's fine. You know, we're just doing the thing. I'm settling more into this whole idea of only working 16 hours a week and, you know, working from home for all of that. And but it's been good. Everything's been good. You know, we've just been puttering along. I'm just checking to see if this is still running. It is good. So that's good. Writing is good. I finished putting in all the beta input for book 23, so I'm in the process of doing a read-through on that now. I should be on schedule with that. Once I get the read-through done, I've just got to reformat it for the production version of the book, put those things together, and then get back to book 24. But as I said last week, I think, I hit 80,000 words on book 24, or maybe I didn't say that. I hit 80,000 words on book 24, so I'm right where I need to be on that. And I have more time now to write, so this last writing sprint shouldn't be a problem. Just got to get all the loose threads tied up, and we'll go from there. So that's good. In the costuming world, I'm working on a new costume for Mario Day. I had mentioned that. I got all my calculations done and ordered the filament. And so the little printer is cranking away. I need to order some more filament because I need to have some sort of a costume that I can actually grocery shop in. And I had a couple of choices on that, and I took them to my beloved, and she preferred one over the other. So I've got a bodysuit coming in that's Bowser, you know, the main bad guy from Mario Brothers, and I'm going to make a Bowser mask and a Bowser half shell for the back with the spikes on it. Go for that punk look. So it should be fun. Got that done. The other option was to do Princess Peach, but my wife said, yeah, no. I said, okay, that's fine. Because it wouldn't bother me. Anyways, so that's all going well. And we'll crank that stuff out, get that all glued and put together. And it's, I think I mentioned last week, it's going to be interesting because the head, to make it proportioned to size, you know, the head on Mario is going to be come down to my natural waist, and then I have to build a body that will sit under that. And Mario's a little rotund, he's a little round, so I figured out that the lower half of Mario's body is basic, well, actually his whole body is basically a 24-inch sphere. So I've got an exercise ball that's the right size, and I don't know if I'm gonna paper mache it or make it out of light foam or what I'm gonna do, but we'll get it taken care of. We'll get it figured out. I could make it out of lighter EVA foam and then stuff it for support. And then I have to make a Mario Brothers costume, but that's real straightforward because it's just block colors and very simple design. So it'll be fun. We'll get that done. Anyway, so there's that. I had a topic picked out for today, which is kind of a sadder topic. But then yesterday I started thinking, I don't know if I want it. Because I have just been so enjoying another little thread that I have been following in the world. And then this morning I got up and I was thinking about it, and Jesus whispered and said, well, it is Thanksgiving. And this second topic is something that you're a lot more thankful for than the first topic, which is absolutely true. I thought, yeah, that's really true. So I have been following with fascination for about a week now the story of a singer named Ray, R-A-Y-E. And I got to tell you, the more I dug into this, the more I was like, this is fabulous. This is amazing, because she has just a really interesting story. Before I get into that, though, obviously, since it's Thanksgiving, I would say that I am very grateful and very thankful for the way everything has worked out this last year. I'm so happy to be at this point. I've had this on my calendar for so many years as I was marking down what books I was writing and figuring out where the retirement stuff was supposed to get to as far as finances go. And I'm just delighted to be here and to have it worked out as hoped. So we are blessed. And we're blessed because Dustin just seems to be heading into the final stretch here and doing well. He's got a research project to finish up. He's got till next Thursday to get that research project finished up, but it's going well. He doesn't think that will be a problem. And he's had all along the way just little helps. He had a help come up this week without going into too much detail with one of its prefectors, they get graded on a scale of 1 to 5 when they go out with a prefector. And one of his prefectors was giving him 4s and 5s and everything was great. They need to be an average of 3 for him to get out of the program. But he had another prefector that was wanting him to do things that were not according to the new way of doing it. So, you know, this prefector had had his training like 10 years ago and things had shifted a little bit. And apparently this guy hadn't actually kind of kept up with stuff, and so he was telling Dustin to make certain calls that Dustin didn't think were right, and he was like, that's not right. And so they got into it a couple of times over some things, and so this second prefector has been giving Dustin like 1s, which of course is going to drag down his entire average. And there's been a few instances where things have happened that then have been reviewed later, and Dustin hasn't been wanting to throw anybody under the bus or anything, but he's like, yeah, that's what I was told to do. So I'm down at the little stream, but there's not much water moving. So you can't, that's my little watch going off there. So there's not much, usually we get a little trickle out of the stream, but there hasn't been enough water flowing for that today. So anyways, but another situation came up today or this past week, and Dustin's been concerned that it's gonna, you know, skew his whole average, and he's been talking to his counselor about it, and the counselor's been telling him, don't worry about it. But still, you know. And so there was an incident, and Dustin being Dustin, which is good, just looked at him and said, okay, if you want to do that and call it in as that, I want you to take over this patient. He becomes your patient, or they become your patient, because I'm not calling that in. And so then, of course, the guy got mad at him, and I think the both of them then had an EMT that was going along, and mostly the EMT was agreeing with Dustin, and somehow word got around, and Dustin was told, okay, that guy is not your prefector any longer, and now we're going to have the supervisor of the program over here be your prefector, which for his last 4, he's only got 4 more to go now, 4 more clinicals to go, or maybe they don't call them clinicals, I don't know what they call them. But Dustin said that actually is going to work out really well, because he has a good relationship with his supervisor, with this supervisor, and this supervisor doesn't go on every call. He only goes on some calls, so the rest of the time, Dustin can sit and work on his research paper. So that's good. So it's all working out, you know, it's all working out. As it always does, for God works in all things for the good of those. So that's been fun to watch, and it's been fun to do. And so those are all the things I'm grateful for. Okay, so this last week, I kind of started in my feed, my YouTube feed, getting recommendations for a singer named Ray. And there was one song in particular that I listened to that I just thought, wow, which the more I've listened to it and the more I've reflected on it and the more I understand the story behind it, I think it is probably the greatest live performance that I've ever seen in terms of command of the stage, command of the voice, just everything. Stage, it's just amazing, amazing, amazing. So, here's just a quick recap of this amazing amazing life and really interesting developments and unusual career paths taken by this musician who goes by Ray, R-A-Y-E. So it's always musical. And she had released an EP when she was 14 that was impressive enough that, let's see, wait. I think that's right. Was impressive enough that she was signed with a record company, you know, of somebody heard it and sent it to record company. I believe the record company is Polydor Records in UK, which is a big record company. She signed with them and she starts working along writing songs. And she's a good songwriter. Good songwriter enough that, you know, the songs she's writing are getting shopped out and recorded by Beyonce and Charlie XCX something. Some of these singers I don't know. A lot of big name singers though. And then she starts getting a bunch of featured spots where, you know, they do so-and-so singer featuring Ray, that type of thing. And, you know, had been developing a name for herself. But Polydor Records, for one reason or another, just would never pull the trigger on giving her an album. So meanwhile, she's writing a bunch of her own stuff that are very intensely personal songs. And so she goes on. And after about 5 years of that, she gets frustrated enough with it that she goes and talks to them and somehow convinces them to let her out of her contract. So, you know, now she's young. So she signed the contract with them when she was 14, I think. She got them to release her from the contract. I don't know, she's 18, 19, somewhere in there. It's 5 years later. And then now she's an independent artist. So, and she's got all these songs. And so she records her debut album called My 21st Century Blues. Begins releasing singles from it. Finally releases the album, make sure I get these dates right, in February 2023, I think it is. And at that point, you know, the album gets critical acclaim and yada yada, one thing leads to another. She gets nominated for that album that she did herself. She gets nominated for 7 Brit Music Awards and wins 6 of them for New Artist of the Year, you know, Best R&B, blah, 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 including Album of the Year. And it's really sweet. You can look up on YouTube and you can see her acceptance speech at the Brits when she wins Album of the Year. And I mean, it's just this surreal night for her after she had labored in somewhat obscurity for so long and been told, nope, on making her own album. Then, you know, she releases her own stuff as an independent and, you know, makes a deal with the distribution company and then wins all these Brit awards. So here's where it gets really interesting. So the songs on this album are very personal, very introspective, talk about a lot of the stuff she had been through in her life, like that and like that and like that. But she had one song on there called Oscar-winning Tears. And it's about a guy that treated her bad, and then every time, you know, she tried to call him on it, you know, he'd cry. And so it's about his Oscar-winning tears. And it's very interesting to listen to her version of it that is on the album, My 21st Century Blues. You can find it on YouTube. You just search for Raye, R-A-Y-E, Oscar-winning Tears, original. And there'll be like an original visualization that will come up. You should really listen to that one first. This then is where it gets amazing. And this probably wouldn't have happened if she had been with a record label. Somewhere in there, as she's writing this album, she reimagines it as a concert with full orchestra. She does go on tour with the album. I think she opened for Taylor Swift when Taylor Swift was in London, you know, et cetera, et cetera. While all that's going on, she is reimagining this thing as an orchestral album with her as the lead singer. And I'm sure she had help and raised money somehow and blah, 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 blah. She didn't do it all herself, I'm sure. She had plenty of help, but she basically masterminded a concert at the Royal Albert Hall, I think that's what it's called, with a symphony group and a choral group. And you can tell about the quality of a song that it can be reimagined and that it still works. That's my watch going off again. So what's fascinating is that when you hear the orchestral version of Oscar-winning Tears, you know, you think, well, how could it be any other way? But that's why you need to listen to the original one first. And the original one is good. It's fine. But the live version at Royal Albert Hall, my word, it is, as I said, I think the greatest live performance I have ever heard of any song. And when you know the background, when you know that she had struggled and struggled to actually get her own album, when you know that she was able to become an independent artist who then does this kind of unthinkable thing of, well, let's just put on a full-blown concert with a full orchestra and choir. I mean, maybe there's a bunch of musicians that would think about that. But to actually do that, I was reading one place where she was talking about, she was talking about how that it had cost her a whole year's worth of pay, which of course, she's a music artist, so what does that mean in that context? You know, did she put all the profits from my 21st Century Blues into it? I don't know. But she was deep in it. And she said at one point in one of her posts that they had been working on the orchestral tracks for 10 months. So that seemed to indicate she had a hand in those. I know her tour manager is actually a musician, and he's been her collaborator for years. So it's not just her doing it, obviously, but there is a lot of musicianship going on there. And it's really fascinating. So you have this situation where the album is released in like February of 2023, and they're already working on the music for this orchestral concert. She does some touring and stuff, and I think it's in September of 2023, where they stage this performance at the Royal Albert Hall. And it is actually coming out as a movie fairly soon. They've just secured distributorship. It's called My 21st Century Orchestra. And Oscar-winning Tears is the opening number. And they just pull out all the stops. And she pulls out all the stops. And what you see in this performance is this culmination of year after year of musical discipline, of year after year of honing her craft, of months and months of pursuing a project that people told her was dumb and silly, and why are you doing this? And, you know, you're spending all this money, what's this worth? And blah, 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 blah. And then you come to the moment, and there's this orchestral overture in the beginning, and then they introduce her, and she comes out, and it's so cute because she just shouts. I will abbreviate the term. She shouts, "Are you effing kidding me?" She says, "Okay, let's go." And then she just drops in and she gives us an astounding performance. It's really, it is amazing. And the orchestra is fabulous, and the choir is fabulous, and the video is fabulous, and the lighting is fabulous, and she's fabulous. And that's how this culmination point starts, that was the result of all these various things. And it's just so inspiring. And I am so grateful that God gave us music, that He gave us the ability to comprehend music, that He gave us the ability to hear music. That He wired it into us so that it profoundly affects us. I mean, it's just so great. It's so great. And I am so thankful today for all of that. So you should go check it out. Listen to the Oscar-winning Tears official thing on YouTube. I think it's like an official visualization. And then if you want to do a little more research and correct whatever numbers I've gotten wrong, and then go find Ray Oscar-winning Tears live at the Royal Albert Hall. And it's just so, so fun. This is Phil Farron, and I have finished walking around.